Thank you very much. God is good. When I bless you, can't tell the difference. Did you hear what I said? When I blush, you can't tell the difference. But when you blush, I can tell you're blushing. Because your face becomes red. No. Anytime I come to UK, I need an interpreter. I need somebody to tell me. Yesterday, somebody, you know, I don't like, what's it called? Mammoth. Mammoth? And somebody, can you imagine when you don't like something, somebody gave me my mind yesterday. They got me a big bottle of Marmite. Oh. And I was about to leave and somebody left Marmite chips. Is that what you guys do to people when they don't like something? Wow. I pray for you guys. Oh, God is good. I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I know who knows what he's going to do. All right? So we'll see how it goes. I gave my testimony yesterday, which is great, how I became a born-again Christian. From being a Muslim imam to become a Christian pastor. God can transform anybody, any day, any time, how hard, how difficult the person is. God can change them in a split of a second. That's my king. That's the kind of God I like to bow down to. I don't like to bow down to a false God who can change anything. Isn't that good? Isn't God good that we have a God that we can depend on? My goodness, you know, I was sick, like a skinny bone, couldn't live. Somebody prayed for me in the name of Jesus, even though I didn't believe, even though I was a Christian, I was a Muslim. I didn't even understand all this, and I got healed. That's the king. That's the king. You know, there's a man that I know very well that his name is Bob Shaw, which is Kathy's husband, who's been on insulin for the last 30 plus years, twice a day. And God miraculously healed him. Now he doesn't use insulin any longer. That's the God I serve. That's the God, that's the King of Kings, the Lord of God, the Lord of Lords. I remember there's a woman in my church who weighed over 400 pounds. Over 400 pounds. And just one prayer of sugar addiction, God set her free. She lost more than 280, something pounds. Even she's lost more weight than myself. That's the God we serve. There's there's a guy who was deaf. He had hearing aids. Came to our church. And that day, God was just doing amazing stuff. You know, I have nothing to do with this. You know, And I prayed for him, and God just miraculously healed him. He doesn't have hearing aids anymore. Actually, the hearing aids was over. I didn't know that hearing aid cost that kind of money. It's over $5,000 a piece, $10,000. It's not a souvenir. It's a souvenir. I said, donate it to somebody. He said, no, I'm just keeping it for souvenir. So he hung up in his house. Before you enter his house, he hangs it in his door. That's the God I serve. This morning I want to talk about something most people don't talk about. Most people don't like to talk about, especially Christians. See, I grew up in a wealthy family. I grew up in a family whereby my parents are so wealthy that almost every year we fly from Ghana to Paris. My dad has 3 apartments in Paris. So every year, before I became a born-again Christian, okay, every year we fly from Ghana, from Accra, to Paris to spend holidays there, sometimes 2 or 3 times a year. And when I became a born-again Christian, I lost everything. Because when I became a Christian, they disowned me. Hey, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. They shut the door on me. Actually, they dug a hole and made a funeral for me. And I lost everything. I became homeless for 8 months. I slept in my car. I didn't have a dime. I'm just telling you what God did for me. Because, you know, God is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. This is what God did for me. A man who was so spoiled brat. I was a spoiled brat. They opened the door for me to get into the car. I have a driver. They drive a car and they open the door. My parents spoiled me. I was spoiled because I came from a privileged family. And I became a born-again Christian. I lost everything. And I didn't have anything. I had to depend on God. I had to depend on Him. So now let's open our Bibles. Okay, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 12. Let me read the Jesus Version Bible, okay? John chapter 12. Oh, Father, thank you this morning that you are so good. Father, Lord, as I open my mouth, you fill it. Let the word that comes out of my mouth be a blessing to you and to everybody here. Let ears be open and hearts to receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. John chapter 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of seed or a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is my story. This is how God did it for me. I've read this somewhere in the magazine, and then finally I came to a farm. And I know a farmer who is a good farmer, great farmer. And I asked him, how come your farm keep producing products every day, every time? Why does it produce all those stuff? He said, anytime we harvest, we have a seed. And we keep the seed till the time for harvest, till the time for what? Till the time to sow again. If I don't sow that seed, I will not get harvest the next time. And I kept saying, why? He said, well, if you eat your seed, you won't have a harvest. If you eat your seed, you won't have a harvest. So this is my story. When I became a born-again Christian, my parents disowned me. I didn't have anything. I had a job. And I didn't have a place. There was even a time that I had a house. And because I became a born-again Christian, I was married before, okay? This is my second marriage. My ex is a Muslim. Because I became a born-again Christian, she left me. She left me and gave and lost, and so I lost everything. So I had no choice to give everything to her. And I owed over $300,000. That is the house, because our house was over $600,000 and we paid $300,000 and the house, we owed over $300,000 in the house. And when I became a born-again Christian, she left me. My parents took her to the States. And the house was in my name. And guess who owes the money? I own the money. I had a job, but there's no way the job I had could pay over $300,000. It's impossible. It's impossible. And what happened one day? This is a guy who is homeless, who had a job, but yet couldn't pay his bills. I was frustrated. I wanted to kill myself. And then in that car, that I was homeless for 8 months, I met God. Even though I was a born-again Christian, but that's when I really actually connected with the Lord. I connected with the Holy Spirit. He's my very good friend today. He's my good friend. He's somebody that I cherish, somebody that we talk a lot about. He has so much. Do you know, he's a chatterbox. He talks a lot. If you listen, he talks a lot. A lot of people don't listen. You know what Christians do? He said, you know, the Holy Spirit told me, like, Christians normally use me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, anytime they need something, that's why they come to me. When they don't need anything, they don't come to me. They go and they're minding their own business. Anytime they need me, they cry, Jesus! And they speak in tongues for me. And when they don't need me, they don't speak in tongues. They're too busy. They use me. But when people love me, don't use me. When you love people, you don't use them. So this is how this thing began for me. I met the Lord. I met the Holy Spirit in my car in the cold winter, minus 40. And my car was running. My car will run for 24 hours unless I'm in a building. So I have to go and put in gas all the time. Why? Because it was cold. It was so cold in Canada. I mean, God has a good sense of humor. Bring an African to a cold country. Excuse me. I said, Lord, what's the matter with you? He said, because I love you. I want to change your life. And he's actually changed me. So this is how it happened. I was starving. I couldn't pay my, the money I had to use it to buy gas into the car. So I have to go to, like, Starbucks at 12:01. That's when they throw all the donuts and everything in the garbage. And that's my feast. Go pick things in the garbage and not eat them. Because I lost everything. And this happened. I remember I went to a church, and one day I went to a church, and when I went to the church, my car was dying. You know, tum, 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 tum. And you know when the car begins to tum, you know? And it wasn't starting very well. So when it, because it's like tum, tum, tum. So anyway, I managed to drive the car to the church, and I parked the car at the parking lot, and I was hoping it would. So when I, at the parking lot, the car died. And I went to church. And they told me that I was so religious at that time, and they told me that if you dress in suit, and you have a tie, Jesus will come closer to you. So I wore my best suit, I wore my best tie, and I went to church. I didn't meet him because when I got to church and I sat down by where Karen is, and there's a guy who was sitting here, and there's another guy sitting here, and I was in the middle, and this guy has two cars, nice cars, and then this guy came from, I don't know where this guy came from. He came around and he said, hey. So he shook all the three of us hands and went back to this guy. He said, well, the Lord told me to give you a car. And he saw me parking my car that died. So I was thinking he was going to give me the car. But he gave the guy who had already two. And I'm saying, so I went back, took my car, started the car, thank God the car started. And I was driving, and there's a guy who was freezing cold at the parking lot. And I stopped my car. The car was a doom, doom, doom. I stopped the car, and I told him to come in. He listened, he looked at my car, he looked at me, he looked at my car, and said, bye-bye. And he was cold. And another car came down. Beautiful car. And the guy stopped. He ran to the guy, and the guy opened the car. And he got into the car. And I was watching this. So I went back to my apartment, which is the car. I went back and I took my blanket, which is in my comforter, which is in the car. And I covered myself and I said, Holy Spirit, I have no clue what I'm doing, but you need to help me. You need to help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need help. He said, yes, you do. He said, well, I have help for you. I said, how? He said, you just watch me. And that's how my story began. And he said to me, Zach, I want you to, when you go to church the next day and the next week, I want you to take $100 from your money. I said, That's my next $100 for my gas. He said, yeah, do you need help? I said, yes, not that kind of help. I need a handout. He said, take your last $100. I said, that's my last. Are you kidding me? He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, that's my last $100. I needed to buy gas. He said, yes, that's what I want you to do. I said, you don't understand. I'm going to freeze to death. He said, no, I want to take your last $100. I said, you must be out of your mind. This is how I talk to God. I'm serious. This is my conversation. I'm real. That's why in our church we say real people, real love, real life. I'm real. I tell them the way I feel. So anyway, so I went to church. I took my $100 and I squeezed it somewhere. I folded it into pieces so that the offering basket came and said, no, that's not what I want you to do. I said, but you told me to give it away. I said, make it so. He told me to open the $100 and flatten and make it nice. He said, don't wrinkle it. So I flattened it. I went to the washroom, flattened and make it everything nice. And the offering plate is gone. And I said, what did you do that for? He said, because I didn't tell you to put the money in the offering plate. Okay, so that day they made an altar call. They said on that day, somebody they wanted to buy a house for somebody in the church, and they wanted people to sow money into that house. And I said, no, not that. I said, I said, no. Why not my house? He said, I'm trying to solve a problem. Will you let me help you? I said, not that kind of help. How can you tell me to take $100, my last $100, to sow into somebody? They have an apartment. He said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. Grudgingly, I put the $100 and I barely put the $100 in there. The guy pulled the $100 out of my hand and put it in the offering plate because I wouldn't let go. I wouldn't let go. And now what now? I don't know. So I finished it. I put the $100 in the offering plate. And that day, they took over $300 and something for the person to buy a house. And they counted the money, and they came and announced it in the church. And they gave the check to that person. And the Lord said to me, Zach, will you thank God for that? I said, yes. Thank you, Jesus. And I went back to my apartment in the car. So I went to my apartment and then I went into my car and I opened it and I wanted to just, I don't know why I felt I should read that day. So I read the, I also just took my Bible and I opened my Bible and there's $2,000 in my Bible. How did $2,000 get there? I looked around. I went the next day. The next Sunday, I went back to those two stupid sitting by me and said, did you put $100 and did you put money in my Bible? No. I don't know who put, till today, I don't know who put $2,000 in my Bible. And I said, wow. I put $100 in there and got $2,000. Let me make the math. Let me make the math. The math doesn't add up. They say when you give 10%, it doesn't add up. So I went back to church, and the Lord said, we're not done yet. I said, whoa. I've given my tithe, and I'm fine. I've given $200. I have $1,800 left. Yes, I am going to go and get another suit. Because I have to be religious. So, and the Lord said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. You need to put back the rest of them. I said, no. I said, that's $2,000. That's a lot of money. I said, you need to put the $2,000 back. You need to put, if tied $200, you need to put another $1,800 into the offering plate when the plate comes back. And I said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't get it. So the offering plate was passing by. I got up to go to the washroom. I got up to go to the toilet. And they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the toilet. I said, you know what you did before? I went to the toilet to go and straighten the money up and brought the $100 back. I'm going to do the same thing. That's religion. That's religion. I said, religion? Yeah. And he said, well, just put the $1,800 into the offering. And it's the same guy that came by. It's the same guy. So I'm trying to drop in the $1,800, and he came and pulled the $1,800 from my hand again. Put in the offering plate. I said, why do you keep sending the same guy to me? What's the matter with them? So I went back home. No money. I still had to go to Tim Hortons. And Tim Hortons, I still have to go to the Starbucks to go and take my food. I opened the Bible. There was no money in it. I was trying to, you see how religion happened? Because it happened this way? Because I thought it's going to happen again. I opened the Bible, every single page in the Bible. The money wasn't there. And I've been faithfully been tithing and giving my offering. And one day, I went with my pastor to another church. This is my first time of going out with somewhere to go and minister at a church. And I have no clue what the prophetic is. So we went to this place and he was praying for people. I used to carry his Bible wherever he goes. And so we went to this place. When we got to that place and he said, his name is Barry Boucher. He said, would you mind praying for that man over there? And I said, this is not good. I just came from my flat, my apartment. That day, the YMCA didn't open, so I didn't have a bath. I didn't have a shower. Even in the church washroom, that's where I brush my teeth. He wants me to pray for somebody. That's not good. So I went in and said, okay, Father, whatever this man has, whatever he needs, give him. Have a good day. That's a good prayer, isn't it? And I went and sat down. And my pastor said, what did you do? I said, I prayed for him. He said, what did you do? I said, whatever he needs, whatever he wants, Lord, give him. Have a good day. He said, well, that's quite a prayer. I said, I know. I don't know how to do it. No, nobody taught me how to pray. It's written in the Bible, and I wanted to prove to my pastor. It's written in the Bible, even the disciples doesn't know how to pray. Jesus had to teach them. I need somebody to teach me. So what happened was that 8 months later, listen, 8 months later, the same man that I prayed for, 8 months later, he lost an inheritance. Somehow, they changed the decision, the mother or mom and dad, whatever happened, and he got $1.7 million on his inheritance. And that day he walked to church with my dented car, with my nice, beautiful flat. I went to church. Remember, I wanted to buy the second suit. I didn't have the money to buy the second suit because I wanted to buy the second suit. And that day when I went to church, the Lord told me to take my jacket off my suit and give it to somebody. This was not funny. So I took my jacket off. And I prayed over the jacket and said, jacket, have a good life. It's going away. And I gave it to the guy. He said, I've been waiting for this for a long time. You've been waiting. He said, I've been waiting for this jacket for a long time. And I'm saying, you've been waiting for my jacket for a long time? He said, yes. He said, you don't know how much this meant a lot to me. And I'm saying, And I was about to go out, and the man, you remember the man I prayed for? He came to me. He said, you have no clue what God did to me when you prayed for me. I said, what? He said, you have no clue. And I said, what? He said, I need to drive you somewhere. I said, okay. I left my dented car in the parking lot, and he drove me and came and bought me a whole wardrobe of clothes. A whole wardrobe of clothes. And then at the end, he said, can we, do you have a house? I said, you don't want to know. And I said, what? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I have a house, but I gave it to my ex-wife, and actually, I still owe £340,000, $40,000, and so I don't have a house. Actually, I have a deficit house. He said, well, you don't have a deficit house anymore. I said, what did you say? What did you say? He said, you don't have a deficit house anymore. Tomorrow, which is Monday, let's go to the bank. He went to the bank and paid all the money off. He paid what? $340,000. And moreover, because it's been about 9 months, an interest of £340, £340,000 is another $70,000. So he paid $410,000 completely and wiped everything off. When he paid it off, he said, Zach, have a good life. I have never seen him since. This is a rich boy who was a brat, who lost everything. Now I'm debt free. This thing was heavy on me. I was struggling. I was desperate. He paid off my credit cards, everything that, you know what, everything I ever owned. And he gave me another $10,000 for me to get and go and get an apartment. And he furnished the place for me. And that's the beginning of my stories. I went to Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship Bible School for 2 years. I had no money. And he took care of all my school fees. But I learned one thing. Sowing a seed will always grow. Sowing a seed will always do what? Grow. Mm-hmm. Now let me tell you why I'm telling this story. This building is about to expand. Listen. This place, you're not going to have enough room to contain the people coming. So this building is going to expand. There's going to be a school in this building. Listen. And the building, when it's going to expand, is going to be paid for. The Lord is going to take care of it. Now, this is what I feel I should do. Is it okay if I do this? I haven't told the pastor what I'm going to do. So, I haven't told him anything. But I know this works. I know it works. Unless you sow a seed into the ground. Unless the seed dies, it doesn't grow. This place needs a place whereby people can come in and enjoy the presence of God, enjoy the love of God. But this place is too small. It's too small. It's too small. God is going to expand this place beyond its borders. It's going to change this place forever. But it's what I feel I should do. You are going to sow a seed today. Maybe you're looking to buy a house. Maybe you've been wanting to buy a house. Maybe you've been wanting to maybe you want to get married. Maybe you want to travel overseas. You're going to sow a seed today. That's why I didn't tell people to bring money before they come. You're going to sow a seed today. And after when I do this, I'll prophesy over people. But I feel I should do this. This is very important. And all the money that comes here, I don't want a dime from it. Everything goes back to the church for the expansion of the building coming. Listen. For the expansion of this building, for the expansion of the people that are going to fill this place, you're going to see lawyers will come. Doctors will come. You're going to see ordinary people come. You're going to see engineers come. You're going to see people who nobody wants will come. You're going to see people who everybody wants to come. You're going to see the United Nations come to this building. You're going to see people from afar. You're going to see tribes. Different tribes come into the building to come and enjoy what God has for this place. So somebody come and move this thing for me again, not the pastor, because I forbid the pastor from moving the pulpit again. Before we take the And where's the offering baskets there? Bring me all the offering baskets. Yeah, I want them to have them here. Before I will do this, I want to do this, okay? I know maybe this is going to be an unusual church. Is that okay? This is going to be unusual. Oh, there's already money here. Can you go and take the money and put something in there? This is a separate money. Is that okay? Somebody can empty this one. Is that okay? Yeah. This is going to be a separate money. Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, brother. All right. This is what I do in my church, okay? When you have a gift in the church, how many people like their gift to be used in the church? You want your gift to be used in the church? That's good. Almost everybody. Your pastor is a gift. Amen. Your pastor is a gift. They are gifts. And I told Karen, I forbid Karen from doing anything in the church. She should let somebody do. I gave her, the Lord told me that she should stop doing everything. She wants to fix everything to be perfect. So stop doing that. You've been serving people. Let people serve you. Is that okay? So your pastor is a gift. Your pastors are gifts. And because they are gifts, let the pastor pastor the church. Not to be running around doing all the stuff. Let them pastor the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I do in my church. I pastor the church. I don't want to fix. Michael will be mad at me. I want to deal talking to people, loving people. That's what pastors do. They love the sheep. But when they're busy doing other stuff, they can't love the sheep. So I said, church people, if you have a problem, go to them and they can go to Jesus with you. I'll tell the story in a minute. But let them pastor. Look, don't let them lift up stuff. Don't let them move stuff. Let them just come and enjoy God. Let them come and worship the Lord so that their mind is really concentrated on serving Him and serving you guys rather than letting them do all the works. Let somebody else do the work. Is that okay? One day I was just telling the Lord, oh, I have so much to do. I have this to do. The only thing I didn't do in the church was worship, but everything else, I was doing the usher, I was doing everything, PowerPoint. And the Lord said to me, Zach, I said, look, I'm just so tired. I can't do this any longer. He said to me, Zach, I'm going to fire you as a pastor. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're fired. So you're fired. How many pastors that God fires? I'm one of them. He fired me. And you can't appeal. He's the judge and jury. So when he fires you, you can't appeal. Who do I appeal to? So Zach, you see a fire. And I said, okay, what? He said, Zach, you've been telling the people, you know what? People come to you with the problems. That's my job. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they didn't say, oh, come to Zach, all those who are heaven-laden, I'll give you rest. He said, come to Jesus, all those who are heaven-laden, I'll give you rest. So why are you doing my job for me? I said, oh, that's why I'm firing you so that you don't do my job any longer. That's my job. I'm the chief shepherd. That's my job. And I said, oh, then you have to tell them. He said, don't worry. You tell them in church you're fired as a pastor. So I'm fired in my church. I'm no longer the pastor of the church. I'm fired. So if they have a problem, I said, you know where to go to? But I can help you. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ led the people to the Father. Jesus Christ doesn't do the work himself. He leads the people. That's why the Bible says we have been led by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit, but we have been led by the Spirit. So now I've been led to deal with people. I wait. By the way, I can't meet their needs. I have to depend on him to help me. And when he helps me, then I can help them. So that's why I've been fired as a pastor. Anyway, let me move on. So this is what I wanted to do, okay? I also brought money for myself because I want to sow a seed. Somebody just gave us a building in our church. We started a fourth church, okay? We have four churches now, four. The first building. So I want to sow a seed for this building so that I can get a building too. So I myself am sowing a seed, all right? I'm sowing a seed. So I'm going to start with myself. I don't know how much is that, but it's a lot of money. I'm going to start with that. The Lord told me not to count it. I just took the pounds that I took. There's tons of them in there. So I'm going to sow the seed for myself. Now I'm going to say, if you don't feel led to sow a seed, do not do it. But if you feel led to sow a seed to this church, this is not for you. This is for people coming to this church, and this is also going to be part of you because you are going to help serve the people who are coming. So you're not going to just walk scot-free. You are going to help. You are going to be the help because you are part of the church. You're going to help love the people who come in with their pastors. You're going to help them love. So let's all stand up. We'll just do this in 5 minutes, and then we'll sit back again, and then I'll prophesy. Is that okay? I'll pray for the people I feel I should pray for. And Pastor, is that okay? Is that okay? I'm all right. Am I all right?
I prayed that God would say anything he wanted to say to us this morning. And then I thought, what have I let myself
do? Okay. Did he say that? I don't want to have anything to do with this. Okay? I'm just doing what I'm asked to do. And all the money goes back to the church. And when it's all done, we'll just pray and see what God is going to do. Because I saw a school here. I saw like a kind of school of ministry. But people are going in and out and releasing people to the ministries all over the world. People are coming in and out, in and out. And there are speakers all over the place coming to use the building. And I even saw the building that people come here. I just saw construction all over the place. And it all come together. And it works. All right? So, Mike, if you don't mind coming to just pray for me. Okay, come in to worship for me. Yeah. Where's Sarah? I like to bug Sarah. Where is you, Sarah? Sarah, come over here too. Is it okay if I bug you to come and sing with him? Yes. 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 Do they have in-ear money? Do they use in-ear here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, sing a song that everybody knows. I don't know. What song everybody knows? You know your people. Is that your baby? Ah, so cute. I don't want to take him home though. No. Hi, he's waving at me. Ah, so cute. God is going to use you. God is going to use you to do, you're going to be an evangelist. And God is going to use you to do signs and wonders and miracles. God is going to use you to do amazing, amazing things for the kingdom. Give me five. All right. Yeah. God is going to use you. Yeah. You're going to travel all over the world, and God is going to use that little kid. All right. So this is what we're going to do, okay? as we lead this, as they lead the song here, just feel led to come and drop money there. If you feel, if you don't feel led to, that's okay. Is that okay? Yeah. So Father, we thank you. You're a good God. You're a big God. Lord, you can do it for me. You can do it for them. Whatever the situation is, they're sowing a seed. And that seed they sow in the name of Jesus will grow into 30, 60, 100 fold in the name of Jesus.
From the rising sun to the setting sun, His love endures forever. And by the grace of yes, God, Lord, we will carry on. His love endures forever.
Lord, forever God is faithful. Father, I thank you for this. Lord, we give it to you. We give it to you. Lord, everything that is written, every heart, whether it's a house, whether it's a business, whether it's a job, marriage, whatever the situation, Lord, they're sowing into your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Father, Lord, as they use it for this kingdom, Lord, I pray that, Lord, souls will be won, life will be changed in every way, and I thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Pastor. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you may be seated. You may be seated. Hello, Zachary. Hello, Zachary. You're going to be like me one day. You're practicing, you know. He's practicing. You may be seated. You know, and let me end with this, and I'll prophesy, okay? Let me end with this. This is what happens after the money's been taken care of. I went to the Bible school. It's been taken care of. Now I'm happily married. Almost about when I first met Kenton, I wasn't married. Do you remember that? I met my wife in the school of ministry. I was in the Bible school. She went to the school of ministry. I met my wife there. We got married. Now, I have a house. That is. Look, I. I have a house. That is, you know what? I can pay off the house if I want to pay it off. But they said, if you pay it off, your credit something, so I don't want to pay it off. But it's a minimum balance. And I bought a cottage too, see? And I have a boat. Very nice boat. And I bought a Sea-Doo. No, jet ski, is it? Yeah, on the water, see? See, God has redeemed everything back. And one of the things has helped me is that I gave. I've learned to sow seed. I've learned to give. I don't mind. I remember one day I went to speak at the church and this is our first marriage test. Our first marriage test. I have faith. And God has done miraculous things in my life. So I went to a church to go and speak, and they gave me about $3,000. And my rent was due the next day. And I knew I was going to speak at this point. When I get the money, I'm going to pay the rent. So I finished paying. I finished the meeting on Sunday night. I was driving home, and the plan was that when I was driving home, you can put in check in Canada. You can put in check and withdraw some money. So I was planning to, when I get the money, I didn't know how much they were going to give me. When I got there, they're going to I'm going to go to the bank, put the money in the bank, and withdraw some money, then buy gas and go home. And then, so what happened is I got to the church, finished speaking, and the Lord told me to put back the check they gave me into the offering. That's not good. And my wife said no. And she's pregnant. She's expecting a baby. And she said, no, you can't do that. the baby has to eat. And I said, the Lord said we should put the money back. He said, nope. I said, okay. I said, God, you have to convince her. So I went to the washroom. Before I came, I said, okay, honey, if you say so, we'll do it. I've heard your stories, but I want to see it. Do you see what I mean? I said, see what you've done. And he said, okay. So I put the money into the offering, and then we didn't have money to buy gas. The gas was half tank. And I'm driving from Ottawa to to Aurelia, which is about 5 hours, 4.5 to 5 hours. And the gas half tank can only get to a certain place. So I got to Napanee, and the car went doom doom. You know when a car has no gas in it anymore? And it died right at the gas station. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, you got to do something. Then somebody came and knocked at the door. He said, are you okay? And we scraped the frost of the window. We scraped it. He said, you okay? Yeah, we ran out of gas. Oh, you're on the go. So he went to buy gas in the jerry can and put it in the car. And then we drove the car to the gas and he filled in the tank. And when we got home, we didn't have money for the mortgage. The mortgage has to come out. Monday midnight, and we got home Monday at 3 a.m. in the morning. I checked my mailbox by my house. That's not where they deliver mail. They deliver a newspaper. So I checked. There was no envelope there. 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, oh, you know what? And I don't know why I felt the urge to go and open the mailbox. So I went to open the mailbox, and there were 2 envelopes in the mailbox. One was a brown one and one was a white one. The brown one is a bill. I know when it's a bill, I can tell the difference. I didn't open that one. So, I look at the envelope. I didn't know what it was. There's no name. You know, when they send you an envelope, there's always a sender. There was nothing like that. It's completely, and it's just to Pastor Zach Gariba. I opened it up and the envelope, and there was a paper, and there was a paper, and I opened the paper, and something dropped from the paper. It's a check of $10,000. So I gave $3,000 away, and I go, right, look, you work the math. So I've learned when he tells me to do something, away. I don't care how much. I said, Lord, don't tell me to give my house away one day. And I've been praying for him to send me to Hawaii. He hasn't sent me to Hawaii yet. I mean, I'm telling him to tell me to this beautiful Hawaii. It's so very warm. He hasn't sent me to it. Anyway, but God is so good.